You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
Hi there, you're very welcome along to the GAA Hour with me, Darren O'Sullivan, and I'm delighted to be joined in studio again today by Cian Mackey and Barry Cahill. How are the boys?
I'll go good. Darren, yeah, no butter. Right.
It was strange having a weekend free of football, but you know what, it's actually nice to not be under pressure to try and watch all the games, but a couple of big games coming up, two All-Ireland semi-finals, Tailteann Cup. So there's going to be loads to talk about, and I suppose hot topic at the moment is all the boys heading off to America. Do you ever get the opportunity to do it?
Yeah, I did 2001. Myself and Alan Brogan managed to get over. We were sort of on Tommy Carr's Dublin senior football panel at the time, but we just made a call around April time that hopefully we're going to have a long Dublin career ahead of us. And if we didn't get over then, we wouldn't have got over at all. And that's how it transpired. But it was actually Larry McCarthy, the current GAA president, who was involved with Sligo over in New York in the Bronx. He brought myself and Alan over. And geez, yeah, we'd absolutely best summer ever. Like it would be a big regret now if we hadn't got over and did a little bit of work, but played a fair bit of football. And very enjoyable summer with a lot of different lads from different counties and playing in the Bronx every Sunday and a few points afterwards and all that, goes with it, you know. So we're there for the guts of about 3 months, and got back then for club championship in September. Okay. Yeah, it's great crack.
Fergus in Scorbio actually sent me an image of Team USA with all the county boys on it, and it is a frightening team that's gone out there, but it's a brilliant opportunity. I never got a chance to do it. Did you?
No, a couple of small offers here or there over the years, but just opted against sometimes found it harder not been coming back to play club football. It just kind of puts you under a wee bit of pressure then, you know, so it never materialised, but it is a regret. I would have loved
I think it'd be a regret
over there
for me
would
as
have
well.
Suited me, definitely.
And even, well, certainly the lads, the inside forwards who were getting all the scores were of high value in terms of being recruited. But even aside from football, it's just a great sort of life experience to do, you know, going to a different city like that. Operating on your own and making new friends and teammates and stuff like that. So I don't think anyone's regretted not going. And obviously, the way the calendar has gone this year, it has afforded a few inter-county players to get over for probably 6-7 weeks over the next few weeks.
That's actually it. It's another highlight of the split season.
Yeah, so let's definitely a benefit.
Put everything in, play with the county, finished up whatever stage it is, and get the opportunity to go out there, play a bit of football, lifestyle, make a few bob.
Yeah, and you'd probably come back a bit fresher from it, you know.
You're kind of away from the bubble that is the GAA and the county scene and stuff like that. So, but we'll get back into that bubble now for a bit, and we'll chat about the big games going on the weekend. We'll start with Kerry and Dublin. Going to be a funny enough build up, I think, to it. As far as I know, Kerry aren't doing media, which I find strange. They've done it for every other game. Whatever the reason is, it's sure to get the old rumour mill circulating, and there'll be a lot of talk now about David Clifford. Is he right? Is he not right? Who's going to be on? Adrian Spillane and Jack Barry missed the last game.
Yeah.
Will they be right? I think Kerry's strength this year has been the strength and depth of a big squad, probably stronger than it has been in a number of years. So that's going to be circulating mad now, but I'm not sure what the story is up here in Dublin, Barry.
Yeah, I'm not too sure if Dublin are doing media either. Obviously, it's something that's sort of transpired the last few years, that managers become a little bit more paranoid as the season goes on, and player access is restricted, which is disappointing because, you know, a lot of people really want to hear and see particularly the players' views. But that hasn't been too forthcoming this summer in particular. With Dublin, I'm not too sure. There's obviously question marks over Conor Callaghan. Which really would be a game changer if he doesn't play, you know, for me, because it was highlighted during the league how much of an important player he is. He's that sort of focal point of full forward. He makes the forward line tick, and he's such a dynamic player that when he wins the ball, one, he can just go straight for goal because he's a brilliant goal finisher, but also he just brings other players into the game as well. We saw that in particularly the Kildare match, the Leinster final. He was involved with two or three of the goals, teeing it up for the likes of Scully coming off his shoulder, or Kieran Kilkenny, or Costello, whoever that might be. So there's definitely question marks, I think, at the moment as to whether Conn is available to play on Sunday or not. If he is available to play, I fancy Dublin to win. If he isn't, you'd probably tip it more towards Kerry. I think he's such a good player and such a key player, similar to probably to Clifford with Kerry itself. So hopefully he's okay. I mean, the injuries were suffered maybe 3 weeks ago at this stage before the Cork game. So there's been a bit of time there for the medical team to try and get him right. But we won't know until 3:29, basically, before throw-in on Sunday afternoon, probably.
Keane, what do you reckon? Who's going to be bigger last, do you reckon? Conor, David Clifford?
I think Conor is a bigger loss to Dublin. And it's so strange to think, like, arguably the two best teams in the country, having one player in each team to make such a huge difference. Yeah. Like, you used to look at, we'd say, the mediocre teams, and if they were missing their main man, you're like, right, they're under pressure. Then you'd usually look at your Kerry, Dublin, Mayo. They never usually had a player in their team that just was so, so important. And now, like, Dublin against Cork were a shadow of themselves against Kildare, you know, and Kildare probably, arguably, a better team than Cork. And it's so hard to think how they can just change so much when Con's not playing. Maybe it's confidence and kicking the ball in that it's going to stick with him. Maybe the confidence isn't there, maybe with the other boys as ball winners inside. I don't know. It's just he just brings a little bit of Everton and maybe just boosts the confidence of the whole team.
I think he brings a bit of fear to the opposition defences as well. Like I referenced before, the Dublin Kerry league game in Thurles a couple of years ago during the COVID times. I mean, you couldn't have kicked a bad ball into him that day. You know, there was balls going into the D, there was balls going into him in the corner flag, and he was still winning every type of ball, whether it was high or low. And I think he got a couple of goals himself that day and got a penalty as well. Like, he was pretty much unmarkable. So it's funny considering they're two of the best teams in the country, definitely, but they are a little bit reliant on Conn and Clifford to make themselves tick and ultimately could be the difference in winning or losing All-Ireland.
Yeah, like, I suppose if you're going through individuals, you probably put the two of them at the top of the pile as well, two best players in the country, possibly. And when I look at Conn and David Clifford, I actually find them quite different. Do you know, I think David is that kind of magician. He could just do something on that. Whereas Conn, I just find Conn fascinating. The way he has that ability, he's not the biggest man in the world, but he is your focal point. And it's amazing how much he makes everyone around him better. He makes the whole unit better. Whereas I think if David is out, yes, you're replacing with probably Killian Spillane or Tony Brazen, players who would probably get in any other county team in the country. But I just don't think you can replace Conn O'Callaghan.
There's no like for like replacement there.
Generally watching him in the league, and they were kind of just kind of find their feet, and all of a sudden you bring one player back and it's just like the whole thing just clicked.
Yeah.
Like, I just find him amazing. I think Conn will be a bigger loss to Dublin than David would be to Kerry.
That's because the squad, though, you know, like the Dublin squad, when Dublin were so good, would have had a replacement for the like of Conn, whereas now their squad isn't as strength and depth as previous, you know. So, like, you look at the Dublin full forward line the last day, all in all, three fantastic footballers, but no fear factor.
Yeah.
Like, there's no absolute fear factor going.
Particularly with Mania not there.
So, like, if you don't have someone, like, you'd always think man marker. If he's not marking him, who's going to pick him up? You don't have that fear factor in the Dublin full forward line when Conn's not there. Do you know? But in the Kerry full forward line, like, you still, like, Ganey, you can put Sean O'Shea in there. These boys all still need tight marking. And I think Conn is a bigger loss to Dublin than Clifford. And it's mad to say, because you look at how good Clifford is. But I think he's huge.
And, like, from Kerry's perspective as well, I mean, Thomas Sullivan is probably their most naturally gifted man marker, you know, and he's obviously brilliant going forward as well, which we've seen in recent weeks, kicking scores. And I think he played that pass to Ganey, in the first half. That was like a Dermot Connolly type.
He would have been given out to Ganey then, because Ganey normally finished it.
Yeah, no one talks about it now. Whereas he got the goal, it probably wouldn't have been a highlight reel. But, you know, if Conn is in there, well, then Thomas Sullivan is obviously marking him. And
I don't think he'd have the strength for him.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that the last year. He's our go-to marker.
Yeah.
I just don't think
it mightn't be the match that they want.
I'm looking around the Kerry defence. I'm like, who'd you put on him?
I think you need a bit of cover. Obviously, same with Dublin now, with Clifford and stuff like that. But if Thomas Sullivan was to go on him, then obviously that's one less fella that Kerry has in terms of man marking. And I would feel that Kerry probably don't have six out-and-out man markers or defenders in their in their defensive setup. So if Conn was out of the picture, that makes life a whole lot easier for their six backs. You know, when you think about it, walking up to beside your man at 3:25 or whatever, yeah, next Sunday, if Conn's not there, Kerry would absolutely give a boost from
him. He'd give you a lift, all right. Yeah. And I suppose Conn is probably the only question mark in that Dublin team at the moment. It seems fairly set in stone, Cian.
Is McCarthy back? Like, McCarthy is a huge loss. Yeah,
I think he should be okay for it, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, James is the captain, I think, this year as well. And he's, you know, obviously going for a ninth All-Ireland medal. Yes, and for people, there hasn't been much talk about that level of history that he could make as well. So, yeah, we saw again during the league, he was missing for a lot of the games. Mm. But as soon as he came back for the Donegal League game, you know, he was brilliant and has been for the summer. Plus, he gives him that versatility. You know, he can play either wing back, centre back, or midfield. So there is that rotation if someone's not going that well and Desi wants to move things around, you know.
Well, you think another worry for Kerry at the moment is take the injuries out of it. You have everyone available. Up to number eight, we'll say. Your goal is six backs and one midfielder, which is Dermot Connor. I think we know that.
Mm.
We still don't know if Jack Barry's available. Do they go with David from the start and finish with that calming influence for the last 20 minutes? Or do they start David and bring on somebody with more legs like a Jack Barry for the last 20 minutes? And even the forwards, we talk about, you name them off, Killian Splann, Tony Brosnan, Paul Gainey, David, you know, you name off. Kerry don't know their best six forwards.
Mm.
And I still don't think they know what to do with Paddy Clifford.
Yeah, well, I think the last day he was kind of there to stop Keegan and Keegan was there to stop him, which was a terrible decision by Mayo.
Yeah, I think Paddy's role is always a bit, it's loose, it's kind of free.
Yeah, link man a little bit. Yeah,
but it's not that link man, you see, he doesn't receive many kick passes.
Mm.
Like, it'd be always something I want him to be further up and receiving that kick pass. A lot of the passes he gets are hand passes. And I think, from a Dublin point of view, it'd be sticking someone like a Merchant on him, who'd be stuck to him, but will also make him go the other way. Because Conor Myler did it last year, and it took him out of the game.
And he was like a player of the year contender heading into that Atlanta semi-final. Yeah,
you kind of lose a bit of structure with it as well. And I think if you play him on the wing, it's very, it can be a restricted role and it doesn't suit him. So I still think Kerry are trying to find that balance right, which isn't ideal going into a semi-final against a very strong Dublin team, so I'd have reservations there.
Yeah, and like, would you name him in the full forward line, but he comes out as opposed to playing him at 11 because Sean O'Shea's at 11.
That's kind of what they've been playing it, and it's kind of a case of, well, Sean is one of the best centre forwards in the game at the moment.
Yeah,
they don't want to disrupt.
You don't interfere his game.
And then it is a case of if you play him at 15, he comes out. Are you losing a bit of structure? Kerry often lack the extra bodies inside. It tends to be David in there in his own a lot.
Yeah.
Which I think reduce your chances of goals. They haven't got a whole pile of goals this year, Kerry, because the players are too far out the field. So I don't know. I think that there's still a lot of question marks for Kerry, Cian. What way they're going to go? Do you bring in an Adrian Splann? I would personally. Then it's one place up, Stephen O'Brien, Darren Minehan. Do you bring Paddy to the wing? I think it's not an ideal situation for Kerry, and they've had no real test.
No, and that's the biggest fear. They haven't had a test at all. Like Dublin's biggest test was, we'd say, Kildare, and they came through it. Division One team. Kerry haven't really had that. Like, you look at Paddy, he is one of them players. It's kind of like you can't have him in a regimental wing forward position, up and down on the one side, keep your width, because he's hard to pick up. Because I think from looking at him play, he doesn't really know what he's going to do in two moves.
Yeah.
So his man isn't going to know where he's going to be in two moves. So he's kind of one of them players that the only place you can play him is either 11 or corner forward coming out.
Yeah.
So do you have to, sometimes some teams, you have a player on the bench and you're like, that lad is way too good to be not playing. But he mightn't just fit the best six forwards. So that's where...
He might have given the balance, maybe.
The balance. Yeah. Like, you have to, your manager and your selectors, you're there all year. You need to be able to make them bold calls. Now, I'm not saying not to play him. I think he's
no, you are. You're throwing it out there.
He's cut.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes a manager does have to make a hard call to say, look, our six forwards play better without Darren O'Sullivan playing But then other people are looking in going, how is Darren O'Sullivan playing?
Supporters be scratching their heads.
Yeah, saying, but like you have to go as how your team plays best, not as in the best players. Because I think Cork back years ago, Cork had an abundance of talent back when they won the All-Ireland in 2010. They had too many good, like they had forwards on the bench who were scratching your head, but they could not get the balance right. And that's why they only won All-Ireland with talent that is a generational talent that they had then.
But managers, I suppose, would be looking at it as well to say, who are we starting with for this first six forwards and who do we want to finish the game with as well? And probably that comes into David Moran, to your point a couple of minutes ago. Like, is David Moran going to last 75 minutes in Croke Park against the Dublin midfield of Fenton? Probably not. So do you want David for the first 50 minutes or do you maybe say you're coming on at half time and we're going to get 30-40 minutes of really good stuff out of you because you've made such great strides in the last few weeks? You know, I think 75 minutes for David this Sunday would be a big ask. And the last thing you want is a guy going into the game feeling that he's going to have to pace himself at certain stages and I'm going to take a breather after 20 minutes for a few minutes to get to half time or whatever. So I mean, they have legs obviously there with Jack Barry and
they have options, but it's about getting that balance right. And I just find at the moment Kerry, we don't know it, and Kerry, from looking from the outside, they don't seem to know that balance, and there is still a lot of question marks, which look, obviously that the Dubs don't know what Kerry are going to do either.
It's a bit of game.
Yeah, and like Dermot Connolly was that player for last number of years as well, where you're like, how's he not starting? People were saying he was the best ever and he was this and he was that, but he didn't fit the system that Jim Gavin had, and it was very structured and disciplined.
Yeah.
And he didn't fit. Now, Kerry don't have that discipline structure yet. But it could be a case of, are we playing to finish with our strongest 15 or are we starting with it? Yeah. So there's a lot of questions from a Kerry point of view, I think.
And you can't start six scoring forwards either. You know what I mean? You probably only need four, you know, a centre forward and the other three up front. 10 and 12 in generally are the more workmen. Like, if they could pick a score, great. Or if they win a couple of frees, scoreable, fine. So you need to just, to Keane's point, you just need to get that balance right. And I think probably once you get into the latter stages of the championship, the bigger the game is, you're probably going to naturally tend to be a bit more conservative. You know, there's a little bit of a fear there, you know, I don't want to be going out. And like, you always have the scoring forwards to come in if needs be. So you'd probably prefer to have them on the bench to bring them on and just try and keep it a little bit more compact.
But there's some players can't get their head around coming off the bench either.
Yeah.
There's some players that come on and go in a panic going, I have to get on the scoreboard here. I have to do this. And then next of all, they've two wides kicked and the groan comes from the crowd. And then it's kind of like, you're in your own head then. You're like, oh,
you might
Jesus.
Want the ball then.
Yeah, you're trying to get the other way.
Yeah.
You know?
The thing is, I always felt with coming off the bench, I never once thought about scoring. I just wanted to get hands on the ball. I just felt that if you get hands on the ball, you're involved.
Yeah.
And everything else falls into place after that. So it was get your first touch of the ball and don't lose it.
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah. Simple hand pass, give and go. And it is a mindset, and you have to get over that disappointment. Everyone wants to start. I think Paddy will be on. I think he will be number 15 role coming out. But I think if David Clifford and Paul Gainey are to start, they'll obviously be the first in. I think if Paddy can get that role, or Shawnee, one of them between the 21 and the 45, and the other one between the 45 and the 65, that you have your two links.
Yeah.
See, Shawnee O'Shea works so hard as well. Like,
too hard.
You were saying there, like, the two wing forwards is your workers and your three inside men and your centre forwards, your scorers. Kerry don't have that at the minute. They've Paddy Clifford coming out and he's back in your half back line. You've your two wing forwards coming out in half back line. And then Shawnee is probably midfield to half back working. So
he's a kick out option, probably.
So your transition then is scuppered straight away because.
And Paul Gainey was very good the last year. He was coming up being that ball winner, but that. Was my arm. You're leaving David inside on his own. Like, that's a hard.
No, it's fine if it's one on one. Like, fine if it's one on one. Remember the goal he got in the league final?
Yeah.
He had like 50, like, it was ridiculous by Mayo the way it was set up. It was one on one from 50 yards out, but Dublin aren't going to.
No, they're not going to leave that.
That's my thing as well with why Kerry probably aren't creating more goal chances. Because when it does get in there, we don't have enough bodies, and that's a hard role to be asking fellas to work all the way back and then get up. Because I always feel that when the ball goes into David, yes, he can do whatever he wants with the ball.
Yeah.
You very rarely see players running off him at pace that he just has to get in his hand and pop it. Yeah. Give him an easy option every now and again. A lot of the time it goes into him and it's a case. Yeah. Sit back here.
Yeah,
he's going to do like 99 times of 100. He seems to do something. But just to keep things interesting, if we could get players further up the field.
Yeah, it should be an option for Kerry, really, when you think about it, because when the ball goes into Clifford, there's going to be, with Dublin anyway, a second or third player going attracted to Clifford. So that obviously, you know, frees up a Kerry forward who might be coming in on the blind side, you know, like for a slip pass or whatever that might be, the way Conn has been doing it for Dublin. So, but you need someone to gamble, you know, you need to time your run so that as soon as the ball is being kicked in, you're gone, you know, like a light from 50, 60 yards out, and then you're able to get a pass from one and get a goal opportunity. But certainly Kerry haven't got enough goals so far this year.
They've changed their game plan, Kerry, and they've put a lot of emphasis into defending.
Yeah.
So like now at the minute, they're getting that bit right.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, they're still kicking huge scores.
It is Jack's first year back as well. They're a work in progress still.
They get that set up right, but it's this middle third and last third, the transition is the problem. And look, you're blessed to have the Clifford in there who can win a ball, kick a score with maybe one or two men on him. But if he's not there, does your whole thing change then?
We're on about as well. They played poorly against Mayo, still kicked 118.
Yeah.
So they are scoring, but it's just one of them ones for goals. And from a Dublin point of view, I think Dublin will be very worried defensively. I don't think, and when I was playing against them, I always felt Dublin had the best scramble defence, that you could play 60 minutes against them and you'd be like, oh jeez, I don't get a chance to go one on one with them. I don't think they're as quick reacting anymore. And if you go through all the games, despite them being easy, they conceded quite a bit.
Yeah, it just looks like it's easier to get a score against them, whereas maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, it was, Jesus, you had to work for it.
Better understanding, score, you know? I think, like the players knew, they sensed danger quicker.
Yeah, and Keane Sullivan, for example, I mean, he was just lightning quick in terms of reading the game, but also his legs in terms of, you know, covering space and being that extra. Johnny Cooper's playing that role. He's probably not, I was at the Cork game and I was in the Canal End first, so had a good view of it. He probably wasn't getting back in front of the full back line as quicker as as quick as you'd like. And I think the two man full forward line that Cork had did isolate Dublin a little bit and got a bit of joy out of it. You know, if Cork were obviously more advanced and had a better platform around midfield, they could have actually created a couple of goal opportunities. They were a little bit slow in getting the ball in, but I think that's probably an area that Kerry will have identified, because Hurley and Sherlock did cause Dublin a few problems. But like every full back line is vulnerable in my view. You can put the all-star full back line in Croke Park.
Yeah.
If you get quick early ball into the guys inside, you know, they don't have to win every ball, but you win a couple of balls and there's scoring chances there for you.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be interesting. Even the kick-out situation, will Kerry push up on the Dublin kick-out? Will they want him to go long? I just think it's an area, I think Kerry will push up. I think they'll try and force Dublin to go long, hopefully win it long themselves.
Yeah,
I just think if Kerry can get a foothold on midfield and around the middle.
So that's why David Moran, in my opinion, has to start. Mm. You know, if they push up and squeeze the kick-out, then when the game opens up more, and David's then, we'll say, getting fatigued after 50 minutes.
Mm.
Then you have your legs to come on.
Yeah.
And then the whole game's open.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be able to squeeze a kick out for 70 minutes. You know, if you can squeeze the kick out for the first half and really put them under pressure, and then next of all, naturally the game opens up.
Mm. Yeah.
So then shorter kick outs comes.
It's an easier kick out, isn't it?
Yeah. So then you need your legs. So in my eyes, David Moore needs to start, because if he has 50 minutes, only bringing him on for as a sub at halftime, you're losing 15 minutes of a class footballer. So like, he plays and is in constant conversation with whoever the runner is for Kerry, going like, how are you? Are you good? Keep going. And then next of all, you bring on your runners. I think that'll be a big thing for Kerry, because kickouts, you can get at the Dublin kickout more now than you could have over the last 10 years. Yeah. You know, and even the great man Cluxton was able to be got at, so I think Kerry were the best at doing that.
And we would have always targeted the kick out, because obviously, just what's the phrase, hammer to hammer.
Mm.
And it was where Dublin started a lot of their moves from.
Especially if Kerry had a scoreable free, because there was a delay there for to get yourself set up.
Yeah.
In open free-flowing football game, it's hard to do that because, you know, not everyone is completely switched on the whole time, you know.
The other thing with David, I think, as well, is because Tadhg Morley might find it harder to drop off in this game, because Dublin play with six forwards. That Dave is another option there. He has that intelligence that he can actually sit back. He knows he's not going to be box to box for 50, 60, 70 minutes. It'll be a case of David sits back, reads the game. It's an outlet coming out for defenders.
Yeah.
but he's also able to read the game and intercept play. But I just think there's so many questions from both teams.
Because they're both undercooked, really, aren't they? You know, and if they're coming up against maybe a Tyrone or someone who are flying,
Kerry,
you'd
not
be concerned about them. But I think there's a balance there. Yeah. Both are underserved in provincial championships, and
they'd be both
Kerry
feeling each other out for the first 10 minutes. Anyway.
So, that's the thing, and like I suppose the only thing they can both say is, but none of them can be tired.
Yeah, it's definitely a freshness there. Yeah.
So it'd be interesting, and like that, I suppose, depending on what the media comes out with, if they do any media work or whatever, but I don't think they'll be answering many questions. But the other semi-final, I think, is going to be as intriguing. I think Finian Hanley was talking about it last week about the mirroring. And I think the first half could be a case of, we'll see what you're doing and we'll do the same. And I find it hard to call in terms of, well, expecting what Derry, well, I know what Derry will do, but with Galway, will they just try and mirror what Derry are doing?
Yeah, as in what Donegal did, I suppose, on the Ulster final, and say, okay, there's not going to be a score here for like 10 or 12 minutes. It's definitely a possibility. I mean, Galway were renowned to being very defensive under Kevin Walsh before Pádraig Joyce, and certainly overly defensive because they never got that transition right. Pádraig Joyce has sort of abandoned that a little bit and said, look, we're confident that we've enough scoring forwards here who will do the damage. Yeah, I think it's probably a kamikaze approach if you go to play Derry and say, look, we're just going to play our own game and you guys have to deal with it. They had that league game earlier in the year. Now that's I think Galway got 4 goals in the first half up in Derry. The second last round of the league games, which is an interesting aspect to it. But yeah, I think from Galway's perspective, coming off such a high of the Armagh win, they're going to have to be a little bit more conservative because the last thing you want to do is play into Derry's hands, and like Monaghan did it, you know, and they got nothing out of it, and they should have learned from the Tyrone game, because Derry did exactly the same against Monaghan that they did against Tyrone. Clare really played into Derry's hands as well, so I'm sure over the last week, 10 days, there's been a lot of strategizing and conversations going on, and what we do, we just play 4 up front or 3 up front and have everyone back. So, but they have plenty of options, you know. For me, I don't think Galway have out and out enough good defenders there to do a job on Derry, so they'll probably need a bit of help. So I think Finian could be right in terms of that it could be a very cagey, conservative first half, and things mightn't open up maybe until the third quarter.
That league game as well, the second last one where Galway got the goals, Keane, I remember just going a good bit back when you were Mystic Mackey. You had actually said it, how you thought that they'd not given up in the league, but they were changing their focus to the championship. This is going way back, because you said their energy levels had dropped off for the last couple of league games. And obviously that was one of the games.
That was one of the big ones. And potentially it was kind of wanted to come in under the radar too, you know, and they've done it really well. I just think, I can't see anything but a Derry win, because you look at the way Galway struggled to break down Armagh's defensive shield, and Armagh kind of only started a defensive shield this year, whereas Derry are doing it now 2-3 years. You know, so it's very intriguing, because Galway can really drain the game. You know, they can actually be really good to watch and incredibly boring to watch, because they don't take that many risks, you know. So the first half could be very, very, it could be 4-3, like, sort of stuff, you know. Unfortunately,
we're not selling this game very well.
but if it does open up and they go toe to toe, it has potential to be outrageous. But it's an All Ireland semi final, so you can't see either team doing that. And I think.
And they won't care how
to win it.
You know what I mean? It was like, go back to our Ireland semi-final, 2011 against Donegal. Yeah. It was 4-2 at half time, and Rory Gallagher was there for that semi-final as well. So Rory would happily take a 6-5 win on Saturday, you know.
2001 since Gall were in a final, 93 since Derry. They don't care how they get there. Yeah. And it's brilliant that you're going to have someone new in the final. They just don't care. Nobody really remember it. We played in a couple of great semi-finals.
It doesn't matter really.
There's no concept, geez, that was a great game, because we were hearing about, geez, that was a great game. Nah, we lost.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
I just think, I'm just so torn. Going into the last game, I hadn't seen Galway in so long. Do you know the kind of way the games weren't as fresh, because I'd seen Armagh. They have the really special forwards up there. They, like, they have a lot of scores from play spread around their six
and
their forwards.
Two midfielders.
Yeah,
two midfielders
score. Well, midfield is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
McDade and Conor Glass and Conroy. Like, the three of them are fighting for two all-star spots.
Yeah. Three best midfielders probably in
they
the
probably
country.
They probably have been
yeah.
consistently throughout the league and championship.
Mm. Yeah, through the year, yeah, they've been the standouts. It's Galway, yeah, they've loads of class forwards and knacky forwards, but Derry have Sticklers, cornerback. Like, they can go man to man.
Yeah.
You know, they have the clientele to do that, like McCaig, Rogers. Like, these boys can pick up anyone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But you also have to look at Derry. Who have they played?
Mm.
You know, you look at Donegal, right, the bet Donegal, and then Armagh hammered Donegal.
Yeah.
So where were Donegal this year? You know, how good were they? You know, well, and then they played a Clare who were fairly happy to get to where they got to.
Who tipped Clare like? You know?
But like, we don't know, like, as much as I like Derry and how they play, we don't know how good they are because they haven't been tested yet. But I just think ignorance and just passion it'll bring Derry through, but it's a real tricky one to call because you've probably better class your forwards with Galway, but then you have the better defence.
Sean Kelly's a big plus now for Galway. Huge, no, to be fair.
And McGuigan,
right decision.
Yeah.
It's the right decision. He got off suspension. How it was even a question, we don't know. But if he wasn't there, you'd be there going, who is going to pick up McGuigan?
See, well, Galway's defence are ball players.
Yeah.
Like, they're all comfortable on the ball, whereas I'd prefer to have a cornerback who can't solo the ball.
Yeah,
absolutely. And he's 100%. A dog. And you'd be just like, your job is there.
Stick to him.
Batter him, and that's it.
You need at least three or four dogs in your defence. Yeah. Absolutely. All the best teams. And the thing with Derry is, you know, they obviously are renowned for this defensive setup and transition out of defence, but like, they got six goals in the Ulster Championship.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of first half goals, and they feed off a lot of energy, and they got a lot of oxygen from that, as does Rory Gallagher on the sideline.
Yeah.
But then five goals the last, like 11 goals in four games is serious going. And you look at the goals that Galway conceded the last day, I mean, it was junior B football, concession of goals, long high balls.
That's
going to
be a worry going in by Galway. Yeah. But like,
no one dealt with it.
No, but for 70 minutes the last day, they coped.
Oh yeah, they actually, yeah, they did.
Do you know, they did well. And in fairness, the two wing backs will cut in and make that around that area around the D sticky and tight and hard to break through. And they'll try and, I think the key for Galway is frustrate Derry for as long as possible. If they can go in a half time not having conceded a goal, I think they'll grow in confidence.
And the same with the Donegal team under Jim McGuinness, with the system that they have, if Derry start well and build a lead, everything's on Derry's terms then. But if it's the other way around, you know, and Derry actually have to come out of their shell a little bit, well, then it's a different dynamic.
But that's the thing, I think if Galway can sit in, like, and just make it tight, and like, if Derry do have to come out, Galway will start picking holes. But if Derry get a start, if they get an early goal, and the crowd, we've seen the crowd, we've seen Rory Gallagher, if Derry get the start, I think Galway will find it very hard. But having said that, if Galway were to get the start and Derry have to come out a bit more out of the system.
Yeah, I don't know how Derry are a counter-attacking team, so they nearly prefer not to have the ball.
Yeah.
So how good are they? Have they the players that can break the line in a blanket defence? They've pace to break the line, obviously, when you're bombing out in their space. But have they a player, Bar McGuigan, with the head for that little jukey ball in? You want him kicking it in and you want him in there.
Yeah.
So that's the question they have to ask themselves. Have they them players, whether they're on the bench or not, if the game is going the other way and Galway have sat in, have they players like a real good Sean O'Shea-esque 11 who can tread balls through and unlock a blanket defence? If they don't and Galway get ahead, Galway will just sit back and frustrate them. So I think Rory has to have a look at potentially what he has on the bench. If Galway are ahead, who have we got that can change this game? Because you can run 100 mile an hour into six or seven Galway boys, they're just going to turn you over. Do you know if they're sitting
If Galway start off with 15 lads inside their 65 and say, Derry, there you go, there's the ball, you know?
See what you have.
See what you have. They could, that's a question I might ask them, you know?
I don't think Pádraig Joyce would be afraid to do that.
I don't think so. I think he's ruthless enough.
I think he is. I don't think he, like, Is this his second season or third?
It's his third. Third, yeah.
I think the first statement he said when he took over was, I'm here to win All Ireland. And I remember just kind of going, fair play to him for saying it, because they were a mile away from that.
Yeah.
But I think another one for Galway is their Comer and Shane Walsh. They need big ones out of them.
And they're going to get a lot of abuse.
Yeah. Oh, big time. Yeah. I wouldn't worry as much about Comer for the physical stuff. Mm. I think Shane Walsh, I really want to see a big one from him.
Yeah.
Do you know, we've seen all the flair. We've seen this pace. We've seen the skill left and right.
Sidesteps.
I want to see a bit of a doggedness to him. Mm. And if he can stand up to that, because we've mentioned the Derry backs, he'd probably be on McInnes. Or McCaig or
Rodgers. I'd say McCaig would pick him up and Rodgers would pick up Comer. But like, Rodgers will bomb and will Comer be able to go with him or will he be passing? Or
someone else, pass on to, probably.
And that's the thing because if he's doing that, you don't want Comer running with him. No, like, no. Donegal had Murphy running with him and like Murphy was gassed then and the game was done. Whereas it should have been run 10 yards and then give him to someone else and it make it a lot easier because then when Rodgers comes back gassed, Murphy's full of energy or Comer in this situation.
And I think that's only intelligence and smartness. Like that was one thing we talked about as well. You're watching this going on and you're watching Murphy back and forth back and you're like, you don't want your best player doing that.
Heaney could maybe drop back. You know what I mean? He'd leave his wing back and say, okay, I'm going to attack that.
It's all about communication as well, and understanding and trust in your teammate or whatever. But look, I just think it's going to be incredibly interesting. I think the first half is, it might be as pleasing on the eye as we might like, but I think it is going to be one of them intriguing games where there'll be a bit of
you won't be able to take your eyes off.
Yeah, neutral, you'll have a bit of a chuckle kind of just watching it all unfold. But no, I think it's going to be a cracking game now, in fairness. And I suppose before that, Cian, the big one.
Yeah.
Tailteann Cup final. Two of the best teams in it, Cavan and Westmeath.
Yeah, look, it's definitely comfortably in my eyes, the best two teams in it. Now, look, you had, like McGee was talking about Offaly at the start of the year, and you could have argued the point, but just as their year went, they weren't at the races compared to the other two
teams.
They're
still in that kind of
they're in the building, they're in that middle pile there, whereas Cavan and Westmeath would be very frustrated they're not. Like they'd be looking, both teams would have been looking at
Division
Armagh
two
and Derry and these teams feeling, we're in that mix, do you know, we feel we're there. But look at how and ever we ended up in the Tailteann Cup, and we needed to get to the final. We've got there, and now it's a big thing for Cavan to win this. Like for momentum alone, to get yourself to win that and back into where you're supposed to be is huge for both teams. Mm. But I just, for Cavan, from knowing what the boys are putting in, like they are training, ridiculous training, as in they're training as much as any of the top counties. Do you know, they are putting it in, they're doing everything right. Like the group of men that's there, all in fantastic shape, doing it right, and this will be the icing on the cake now, just to win a big trophy in Croke Park.
It's not a formality for them, though.
No, definitely not. I think there was so much talk about Cavan before it. Westmeath are probably delighted,
and
they've just gone about their business, and like that, they're kicking great score. I actually think it'll be an open game.
I don't think it will, because Cavan let a good few goal opportunities in against Sligo. Yeah. That's going to be what they're looking at, going, well, Westmeath are after banging in a few goals. We have to stop them scoring goals. Like Westmeath are a very transitional team too. Like they break at a lot of pace and keep maybe one or two up. Do you know, so Cavan will be looking at that. They'll probably have two sitting back at times. But I think the biggest part of it is the middle third, because Cavan will press the kick out, and I think the middle third will be really exciting. I think there'll be a lot of high catching, you know, you've like Galligan there, Grove McCarron, and you've Connellan, you know, you've a lot of fantastic fielders of the ball, but as the game goes, no different to the two semi-finals, it'll be cagey at the start, but once it opens up, it'll be a great spectacle, because both teams are kicking fantastic scores, making goal chances, you know, so it has potential to be a great game, but it'll be a cagey one at the start. Anyway, both teams will be nervous.
Yeah, both teams have a lot of very good footballers. They really do, and they'll enjoy Croke Park, and they've got that semi-final game under their belt where they could express themselves. I thought Cavan were very sloppy the last day against Sligo. I think there was a level of complacency there.
I think that was
given that they were playing Sligo, and you know, a bit of a formality, and maybe the Cavan crowd didn't travel in the numbers that you would have expected, and certainly that'll change for this Saturday. They might have been waiting, holding off a couple of weeks. But yeah, there were
save money.
Yeah, well, inflation and diesel costs and stuff like fuel costs have gone up. You know,
we used the green in capital.
But like they conceded a lot of goal chances. Like Sligo could have got 5 goals. Could've. And they missed a lot of goal chances. Like Grode McKiernan had 2 easy ones from a fella of his caliber, should have put them away. And you know, there was only a couple of points in it heading towards injury time. Even though he felt that there was inevitability around it.
They always felt like they were
another gear, maybe.
Yeah. But it was one of them games where I just felt that they always felt that they could they'd do enough and they'd just get through it and
kick on.
They won't go into this game feeling like that now, but I was just there thinking, like, Kevin had the opportunity to click 2 pieces of silverware in Croke Park in the 1 year, which is phenomenal. But even Westmeath the last day, getting a win, and a big win in Croke Park, I suppose a lot of times they've gone to Croke Park, it's playing Dublin.
Yeah.
They're not leaving happy. That'll bring a bit of confidence, and it's an opportunity to go to Croke Park, win a game, and get silver. And like, the carrot here for both teams
is huge. Yeah. But Westmeath are the type of team, they're either really good or really bad. You know, there's never really an in the middle with them where they're kind of just consistent, kind of tipping along. They're either Division 1 or Division 4. You know, they just kind of, they're that yo-yo sort of a team, and they seem to be coming back to where they are now. They had a blip in the middle of the Division 3 league, which probably prevented them from getting up, and that would be a lot of frustration, I'd say, within the camp for that. But, like, this is them. This is the carrot for them. To right in their head, right the wrong. We should have been up in Division 2. We should have been in the proper competition. Yeah. You know, and now we're, this is our chance to make sure we're there next year, that we're not having to play 5-6 games to win a league to make sure we're there. Do you know that kind of way? So, like, they'll be hungry and definitely looking at all the talk of Cavan. Like, Cavan played Donegal, and then everyone was talking about how good Cavan were.
And they're nearly too good for the Tailteann Cup and stuff like and that.
Yeah, but there's question marks over Donegal then as well.
That's what I mean. Where were Donegal this year? Like, Donegal have been kind of gradually getting worse over the last couple of years. So, like, you just don't know where they were this year. But Cavan, like, they've gone through their business fairly well between league and Tailteann Cup. Like, they have to be very, very happy. But it'd be very disappointing, like, if they didn't win the game. You know, they would be looking.
But Westmeath have a lot of good forwards. You know, we
John Huston's been excellent in every game I've seen of him.
Yeah. He's always been excellent probably for the last 10 years or so. Very good target man, full forward and free taker, and gets a lot of scores. But I think they did get something out of the Kildare Championship match, even though they lost it. They were very competitive in that game in the Leinster semi-final. And that probably, they got a bit of a bounce from that then into the Tailteann Cup. But McCartan is a guy that I really like at wing forward. He got a brilliant goal there in one of the earlier rounds. And I think he got 3 from play the last day. He's a fella that can cause a lot of damage from wing forward. You have O'Toole, I think, at centre forward. Yeah. Very lively footballer. Great jink. He can create scores, but he also set them up. And then I think it was Dolan inside as well, got a couple of goals. So they have out and out scoring forwards that can cause any team problems. And like 3.22 the last day is a very high score to get. So, you know, hopefully it is an open game. I think it'll open up at some stage. But I think the thing about it is a lot of good footballers there who are, you know, probably a lot of Division 1 standard footballers there amongst both those groups of players. And they'll be using this as an opportunity to showcase their talent, you know.
Yeah, they're defensively open though too. That's the big problem. That's probably Cavan's problem the last day. Yeah. Whether it was complacency or good play by Sligo, we'll never really know. But like, Offaly got through way too much for Westmeath's liking to do. You know, and that could have been complacency too, because there were 8, 9, 10 up in the first half.
Yeah, they switched off a little bit.
So we don't know whether they're good or bad in defence, or whether they just were like, game's over, keep ourselves ticking over for the next day. But it'll be, see, it's hard. Like,
are you confident, Keane? Come on now, get off the fence.
I have to be confident because we're playing good football.
Yeah.
But you can't be overly wary. If you're playing anyone but Westmeath, if someone had a pipped Westmeath before it, I would have been a lot more confident, you know. Yeah. But look, we definitely, if we play to the best of our ability, we'll win the game. I'm fairly confident of that. But then you speak to Westmeath now and he'll tell you the same. But I do think we'll win it. We have a good bit of experience there. And I think the experience of winning the Division 4 game in Croke Park as well, because that was tight. That was tit for tat against Tipperary as well. And sometimes over the years, we would have lost them tight games, whereas now we're
especially
winning
the tip
them.
Yeah. Where you're bad record against
exactly
Tipperary,
so it's just kind of one of them things now. I think it's kind of starting to turn a wee bit where we have the mental strength to keep going when the game nearly seems to be getting away from you, you know. So I do tip us to win.
Yeah, I go with Cavan just about. I probably would have been more confident of a Cavan win before the semi-finals, you know, because Cavan weren't great that day. And equally, I probably hadn't seen that level of performance out of Westmeath so far. So I think it is going to be tighter. But I think, yeah, there's only going to be a couple of points in it. I think Cavan just about have that bit more experience. You know, obviously, a lot of lads there, all of them pretty much with Ulster Championship medals 2 years ago. Three All-Stars in the team still there. All very good footballers. So I think to Keane's point, things the year's just turned for them well since March onwards, and they've been going well, and I think just that little bit more experience and class should see them through by a couple of points.
Yeah, I think I'd be leaning in that direction now as well, just seeing a bit more from Kevin this year, and I suppose the experience of winning Ulster not too long ago as well should help them in like that. They won a league title in Croke Park.
Matchups will be key now. Like matchups and Patrick Lynch and James the Miller, you know, like if them boys are kept quiet for Cavan inside, that's we want them winning ball and lads coming off the shoulder. If the matchups are good on them, we could struggle. And likewise, if you take O'Toole out of the game, like maybe Jason McLaughlin keeps him quiet, he's pulling the strings for them completely, then Heslin then has to start roaming out coming to get on ball. You know, it's
Cavan
just,
probably should put a man marking defender at centre back, as opposed to Killian Clark, who might be a little bit looser and be looking to get on ball.
Exactly. It's I think just matchups are a massive part of this game. Because
no, it'll be very interesting. I just hope that we get the Derry Galway crowd in early, for a start, and people make a.
The only thing with that, though, there's a big gap between the two matches. I was chatting to my dad about it over the weekend. We're going in on Saturday. So Cavan is at 3 o'clock and there's an allowance there. There's extra time and penalties. The other match is until 5:30. So, you know, unfortunately, I can't see the
lower the price of the drink.
And then people will be trying to get the Westlife over on the Aviva as well.
You need a bit of both. Like,
a bit of both, yeah.
Put Westlife on the loudspeakers.
Yeah, big screen.
But the other time as well, this time of year, it's always kind of tuxedo season as well, and there are a few names shouting out for the All-Stars already. Eden Rafferty, I'd say, has goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Well,
see,
a lot can change.
You can win and lose an All-Star in a semi-final or a final.
Surely he can't lose it now. He can't.
No, well, he can be bypassed.
He can be bypassed. Yeah. Like, you know, like if you have a keeper in All-Ireland final, saves two penalties. Yeah. You know, then you're kind of like, well, he has to get it. Like,
but have you any player now that you'd be saying dead cert?
Rian O'Neill for me, I think.
Well, I think if Rafferty gets it, you're not going to get two from Armagh from a quarter final.
I'd have Rian O'Neill ahead of Rafferty. I think Rafferty's been brilliant, and obviously coming out of the ball. But
I would never say a forward is guaranteed if they're out before a semi final.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 2019. Stephen O'Brien for me was.
He was up for player,
player of the year. And he had a poor final.
Mm.
And well, I wouldn't even say poor. He was quiet in the final and he didn't even get an All-Star. And he was in the top three going into it. And I was there. Yeah. How have fellas who aren't playing passed him out? It didn't make sense to me.
They're getting penalised by having the toughest match of the year as well, you know. So, I get all that,
I always found it, like, I genuinely thought he was player of the year that year. Yeah. I thought he was outstanding.
I thought he was brilliant too.
Two quietest game of the
final. He deserves an All-Star,
And he went from being in the top three conversation to not in the six.
But you look at, even with a forward there, you've Conor Glass, who's in my eyes a cert, and then you have McDade and Conroy, right? And that's not taking into consideration any Kerry
or Dublin
midfielders, right? So the way they do it in general is one slides into the half forward line and then you have a forward miss out, or one slides to a half back line and a half back misses out. Do you know, so...
Well, depends on the player a little bit as well. Like, I don't think... in terms of credibility, you can't slide Glass into wing forward in my view.
Brian Howard played wing forward and got an All-Star at centre-back.
Yeah, he was playing a role, though, in terms of dropping back, and at times wasn't like an extra centre-back, because I think Johnny Cooper was sweeping behind that
as
well.
Don't have to defend him now. No. You know what I mean?
Like, I know. Well, like, the argument is, do you pick the best 15 players in the country, or do you give a bit of leeway? I think with Rian O'Neill, you know, there's six forwards up for grabs, spots up for grabs, so you probably can accommodate him.
The thing is,
with the goalkeeper, you can't.
Let's say, for example, if Dublin win the next day, Conor Callan plays semi-final and final, I'm just assuming he's going to have good games. He goes in there.
Yeah.
If Kerry win the semi-final and get to a final, David Clifford, I'm assuming, he goes straight in. Do you know? So there are fellas, if Galway get to a final, you're looking at Shane Walsh being a cert. But then you have Finnard, like, does
you have McGuigan from Derry.
Derry,
yeah,
yeah.
Like, he's a cert. Like, he's a cert now.
We have about 32 certs.
But that's a keen, so I like a lot of All-Stars are won or lost.
One or last semi-final, final. So I always find it like
we'll know a lot more Sunday night, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
But of teams that have already gone out of the championship, you know, Clare won't. Sexton was probably their best player this year.
Clearly, we had a very good quarter final, even though.
And Malone's very good as well. I think with Cork, they're not going to obviously get an All-Star.
Well, like Poulter had a
definitely got a nomination.
I think the bulk of them is going to be your semi-finalists. In general, that's the way. Like, in general,
you look at Mayo, Lee Keegan was still doing the business.
Won't get an All-Star. They won't. They'll get a few nominations. I think Keegan will get the most nominations.
Keegan might be far to get away. I think Keegan could slip in there.
I think he could. I don't think so, no. I think there'll be enough. I think there's enough minutes to be
played. These are very high scoring semi-finals, you know, backs to come out of
there. There's loads of space for the forwards. I think Tom Sullivan for the backs.
I think Tom Sullivan is probably in there.
I think he's a player of the year contender at the moment, yeah.
Just don't build him up too much.
But I think Armagh will get probably a few nominations out of the four teams that lost the quarterfinals. Yeah. You know,
like that.
They were the most exciting team to watch by far.
Like Campbell against Stephen
Grugan for me.
Grugan was brilliant as well.
Brilliant. Rian O'Neill is getting all the headlines, but I would have nearly put Grugan ahead of him.
Grugan, he was good in every single game. Like Rian O'Neill, right? He stepped up brilliantly against Galway, but there was games where he was quite quiet. But he would always be, he'd have a tiger and someone hanging out of him where Grugan wasn't going to have that. So that kind of gives him the better chance of playing well. It's just, look at the clutch kick as well for Rian O'Neill puts him in the headlines. Yeah. You know, and that's kind of a huge thing.
It's a good job we're not picking it anyway.
Yeah. But in fairness, I've sat in on All-Star committee meetings before, and I've said it, like the extra journalists do a huge amount of work. They bring a lot of stats and a lot of information to those meetings, and it's very transparent, and like it's really good, healthy conversations that are had. And I know it never you're never going to please everyone. And the obvious thing then when an All-Star team is announced saying ABC should have got an All-Star, but then who do you take out? You know, people aren't very forthcoming with who
the interesting thing is. Like, you can actually pick quite a few from Derry and Galway who'd say either they'll be in the conversation or they'll get it. From Derry or from Kerry in Dublin, Tom Sullivan is probably the only one.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you'll always have fellas in the conversation, but
they haven't had to hit the heights yet.
Like, which is unfortunate. It's not unfair, but that's the downside as well. People say they have an easy run, but they've had nothing to do. Like,
but see, you have players there. I think was it against Cork. I think Sean O'Shea kicked 12 points.
Mm.
You know, if that was in a game against Armagh, you'd be raving about them. Mm. But it's a game they were expected to win, and then it's kind of like, he was expected to score them. Like.
There's been so many games since then, not for Kerry have played nothing, but there's been so many other games, you'd forget about it.
Do you know,
like Kerry have actually played very little football.
Yeah. Like if Kerry or Dublin or whoever's betting that match, they potentially could have one or two All-Stars max, because you just don't know what they've had to offer. Mm. And then you have a team full of, you could have a few from quarterfinals then, because you're not taking
with the layout of the season. You actually mightn't have it as dominated anymore. Before,
which is a good thing.
Before, like Dublin could win the All Ireland, you could have 10.
Yeah.
And you're going, there's no way there was only five other good. Do you know?
Yeah.
But because they were the teams playing, and you'd forget about the other games because they were so long ago. Whereas it's so condensed, a lot of the good performances are still
fresh in our minds. But like Kieran Kilkenny for me has probably been Dublin's best player, and 8 out of 10 for all the matches. But there's no, you know, standout moments there because Dublin have won the game so easily.
But
you know?
He's and just not been doing fault. The right thing. Yeah. Do you know, it seems simple, but just doing the right thing when and they need a score, he chips him. Points. Yeah. Do you know, it's so normal for him, you don't even. Yeah. He's doing it for so
take
long.
It for granted, really.
Kilkenny got 3 points. Was he quiet?
Yeah.
But we'll know a lot more now this weekend.
But that's all we have time for today. I'm about to be joined by Lee Costello, so I want to give a big thanks to Cian Mackey and Barry Cahill, and hopefully next week we'll have a happy Kerry man and a happy Cavan man. Sorry, Barry.
We'll see.
Well, I'm delighted now to be joined by the man of the hour. Great to have you back, Lee Costello. How's the form, my man?
It's good, man. It's good. It's good to be back. I was a little apprehensive at the start because I thought being on the show meant I might have to do the skills challenge. But then after seeing you guys do it, I realise I'm actually not that far away from county level, obviously.
No, like, well, we're has-been, so that's our excuse.
I've never been then, to be fair.
But you're coming with lots of news, managerial changes.
Yeah, it's that time of the year. I suppose the big news last week was that James Horne stepping away from Mayo for the second time. Sort of how you look at his reign there is sort of the question. I mean, he never got over the line in terms of the Holy Grail, the All-Ireland, but you have to say it was probably successful in different terms. You know, when you look at 2010, they just got beat by Sligo and Longford. Mm-hmm. And if you had to ask Mayo fans then that they would be spending the next decade, you know, an umpteenth amount of semi-finals and finals and the classics in Croke Park, that it took your arm off for it, you know. Mm-hmm. And that, a lot of that's down to James Horne. But you have to say it's sort of his convictions in the style of football is like the rise and fall of that Mayo team. His conviction in that, like, everything's 100 miles an hour. It's all, you know, gas, no brakes. And that's just the way we do it. It created a real resilience and all the players, they knew their role to the T. They always relied on it. And then they always, it's why they always came out back from the dead so many times. But when they came up against a person or like a manager who was prepared to prepare for them, if that makes sense, like a Kevin Walsh, a Jim McGuinness, someone who didn't mind sacrificing a little bit of their own plan to nullify them, send them down blind alleyways, make them shoot from range. Then they had no plan B, C or D. And then it's just that always felt like the difference in terms of never getting over the line. But overall, you have to say, like, James Horne's the reason Mayo are in such a prosperous position. So overall, a successful career.
Yeah, I think it was. It's just a pity that there will be a couple of, there always ifs and buts. When you don't get over the line, it's maybe we should have done this or should we have tried that? And look, we're all experts. Like, I suppose he was trying to play it to the strength of the players he had. And to be fair, he got the best out of an awful lot of lads. And on another day, they could have come away with a few All-Irelands, but like that, he was very successful. I'm sure all the boys that played under him would have enjoyed it immensely as well. And look, like you said, the Mayo fans have had a great 10 or 11 years.
I think time will look back on him fondly, you know, maybe at the minute, just because a lot of fans weren't convinced. I think they were very hurt after the Tyrone loss last season, you know, because that really felt like the one, and they all felt like the one at the time, but just because it wasn't Dublin and they finally broke that Dublin mold, and it was them that ended that Dublin era dominance, as much as Tyrone went on to win the All-Ireland.
Which was fitting, really, I suppose.
Yeah, it was, you know, because they'd lost to them so many times, and it was good that he was at the helm when that happened, but yeah, not getting over the line and it sort of ending in a whimper was a bit disappointing.
Yeah, and I suppose Seamus McEnany stepped down from Monaghan for a second time as well.
Yeah, very similar situation in the sense that it was his second stint in charge. He also never really reached the Holy Grail. Although James Horne was going for All-Irelands, he was really going for an Ulster title. Mm. He helped Monaghan get to their first ever final in 2007, like 19-year wait or since their last final before then. He got them again in 2010 and then last season in 2021. But never quite got over the line, just that same sort of story. All three finals were against Tyrone, so Tyrone's a bit of a bogey team for them. Kind of like you, actually.
Yeah. Cheers, that's why you're not coming back.
Managed to slip in a pro-Tyrone thing there. It was going to be difficult given how poor we've been this season, but
yeah, and I was trying to keep them out of the conversation, but you're sounding like that.
But no, he's successful in different terms, in terms of like keeping them consistently in Division 1. Like that, surviving Division 1 this year is huge because it means whoever comes in now, you know, it's a much more appealing and attractive job, taking that Monaghan job right now. If you looked at Derry a few years ago, Rory Geller, and like the progress he's made, that was a much bigger, tougher, longer looking task than Monaghan now. You know, they're a lot closer. So if they get the right person in, then McEnany's legacy could sort of be, he'd put the team in a position where they could push on.
Yeah, and I suppose, what do we call it, the elephant in the room, something we'll probably be done with it now after this. Tiernan Kelly, he got a suspension, he's not appealing, it's 24 weeks, which is a long ban. What are your own thoughts on that?
Set that up nicely without saying anything yourself. It's because it's Well, it's interesting because it's not really a ban. It's a long time, long period of time. But he's not playing for Armagh in that period of time, you know. And like a lot of people are coming out and speaking out for him in terms of, you know, he was being vilified on social media and trial by social media. And fair enough, like he shouldn't be because he did something wrong on a football pitch. So he should be punished on a football pitch. But he's not even getting that really because it's a 6-month ban effectively. But by the end of January, he's free to play again. And then that's really when the league starts. And then I'm pretty sure he's recovering from what's a pretty serious injury. So he'll be using that time to rehab. And it just isn't a punishment at all. And although he shouldn't be vilified or trialed by social media and all of that, he also shouldn't just get away with it, you know, because we were all talking about how wrong it was at the time because it was such a horrible thing to do. And I don't know, it just looks at the joke that is the GAA disciplinary system.
Yeah, I agree with you for a change. I just found, even if he isn't injured, I actually found it funny that the team getting punished are his club.
Yeah.
And my understanding was, what I was thinking was the ban should come in 1st January when the inter-county season starts.
Yep.
So I'm not sure, is he back from his injury? But it would be a case if he goes back, he plays for his club, hopefully they have a successful year, he plays well, and the punishment then will be, yeah, you've done the business there, but you can't perform for Armagh, and Armagh losing a good player. That would have been the punishment for me. So I've no problem with the 6 months. Look, it was awful, blah, blah, move on. But the timing of the suspension.
Yeah, strange.
I just don't think, like you said, if he's injured, it's not affecting anyone. No.
That's it. Exactly. I mean, and I sort of compared it earlier to like the boxer Canelo.
You know,
he was caught on steroids and they hit him with a big 6-month ban, but he only ever fights once a year. And then he used that 6-month ban to get surgery on his knee and came back like 2 weeks after his ban effectively to fight. Mm. He was allowed to train that entire time and, you know, he didn't lose out at all. Like, so, and everyone talks about the disciplinary system there being a complete corrupt and a joke and stuff. So in terms of the GAA, they really need to get a handle on it, because you're saying that we're never going to talk about this again maybe after today, but we will, because something like this will happen again because there's no consequence. So they'll just keep on sort of erupting and players are going to continue to sort of get away with this behavior, you know, because it's high level competition. People lose the run of themselves sometimes, but especially if there's no concrete consequences at the end of it, then why wouldn't you?
No, like I think you're hitting the nail on the head. They do, like, I think the punishment time-wise is, tis fine, looked as long, and next person does it, has to get the same or worse. But it's about, you know, you may give 6 months or 3 months or 2 months, but it has to be in the season of the team you're playing with. Like, so I just found it funny that you give a fella a 6-month ban and the only team it's affecting is his club team.
Yeah, who've done nothing.
Done nothing, yeah. Do you know, so, look, it is a strange one, I suppose. Look, he did get vilified in social media, no one wants that, but look, it was one of them things. He'll live to regret it, he'll move on, he'll learn from it, hopefully, and I'm sure we'll see him back, hopefully, at some stage with Armagh in the future. But that's all we have time for today. It was actually great having you back.
Thanks,
missed Mark. Having you around the place. A big thanks to Barry Cahill and Cian Mackey for joining me as well today, and I'm looking forward to next week where we'll be reviewing the All-Ireland semi-finals and Tailteann Cup final, and fingers crossed for a Kerry win.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
The final whistle is all over. Jim Gavin, Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer. But I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Give him a goal. It's high. It's over. Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you think of that?